Our scripture reading this morning prior to the lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 and 24. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Well, Randall, well, that was weak, but that's okay. Try. Good morning. Is a little okay. Got a little more life out there. That's good. You think you know? You're a little bit nervous. I've just been told that there's a 50-50 chance that I just got to see. Okay, maybe we're gonna work. Okay, very good. We're having projector problems this morning. If you notice, like those of you up front, if the words seemed a little blurry and lines running through them, you need to see an optometrist because there's nothing wrong with the slides today. So you probably should get an appointment. You know, some things are hard to understand, like the universe, at least for me. The universe is kind of hard to understand. I can't quite get my mind around it. The human brain, going from big to little, I mean, how in the world do you explain what the human brain can do? It's beyond my understanding. So is jazz, to a certain degree. Improvisational jazz, when they just really, I mean, I love all kinds of music, but when it just gets a little too hard for me to follow, I don't really understand it very well. Or infinity. This is about as far as I get with infinity, to infinity and beyond, with Buzz Lightyear. I have trouble with the concept of infinity. Or why we do elections 2 years in advance. I don't understand why we start that out, you know, 2 years before the problem. Oh, we have no pictures. Would you all please turn around in your seats and look at the back? I'll preach from there. It is. Look at the pictures. You've missed all those pictures. I can't believe it. You're probably one I'm going. It's kind of like Jackie Vernon. Those of you who knew Jackie Vernon, you know, I'll show you my slides from my vacation. Here I am at Niagara Falls. Well, shall I just quit this, Randy, and just, oh, wait a minute, I saw a light behind me there for a minute. You know what? I'll keep pushing the button. If it comes on, great. If not, you're missing a great show in the back. So that's all I'm going to tell you. Yeah, it looks like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead. I'll have to keep up just in case. Well, you won't get to see my funny picture. Turn around and look at that. You got to look at that. I don't understand modern art. There, take a. That's the last one. I don't get modern art. I've got better stuff than that on my refrigerator that some of your preschoolers have done, and I'm about ready to sell it. If it goes, I'll let you know. We might make a killing. I don't understand quantum physics. I can't get my mind around those sorts of things. There's just a whole lot that is difficult for me to understand. And there are some things in the Bible that are hard to understand, like the book of Revelation. Now we're on, and you've missed my, okay. Okay, I got to go back. This is for Stan. First of all, this isn't for Stan. I have trouble understanding women, okay? Now that I've alienated half of you, here's the kicker, Stan. This one I thought of you. I still do not understand the play call, second and goal on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. I do not understand that call. He's going to intercept it. Don't throw the ball. You got that running back in the backfield. I do not understand that. Some things are impossible to understand. Okay, now I won't go back to the other slides I skipped, but I got to show the football coach some football here. Some things in the Bible are hard to understand. The book of Revelation. I admit, it's hard to understand. The nature of the triune God. We sang this morning about the Trinity. Explain that. It's very difficult to understand. Or the imprecatory Psalms where the Israelites just say, you know, God, do these terrible things to our enemies. And we're thinking, how can you ask for that kind of thing? How can you ask God to do that? Or the whole problem of suffering and evil. It's hard to understand. The incarnation, God becoming a human being. It's hard to explain that. It's hard to understand. Free will and predestination and how they work together and what is meant by that in scriptures. Some things in the Bible are hard to understand. In our text today, that John just read a few moments ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read about something else that's hard to understand. Body, soul, and spirit. What does that mean? We know what a body is. We know what our bodies are. We know that a spirit does not have flesh and blood. But what's the soul? How do these three things fit together? Is the soul that animated part of us within our bodies because the spirit has been infused? Is our soul our breath? How do you divide these? How do you diagram these? And it's difficult. Sometimes in Scripture, for example, body and soul are paired together. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but who cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So you have body and soul together, but sometimes it's body and spirit. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And sometimes it's soul and spirit that are in the same verse. In Hebrews 4, when we read about the power of the Word of God, it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So there's a dividing between soul and spirit, but it's a hard thing to do. And we wonder, how are we composed? Are we body and spirit? Are we body, soul, and spirit? And then to make it even more confusing, Jesus says in Mark 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It can kind of get confusing. Some things are hard to understand. However, some things are not hard to understand, not at all. And getting back to our text, if we're not careful, we'll get so hung up on this body, soul, and spirit, or in the text, spirit, soul, and body, that we may miss the very clear, fundamental, primary teaching that is very easy to understand in this passage. We're not today trying to figure out the complexities of how we are composed of body, soul, and spirit, a point that is difficult to grasp. But today, we look at something that's simple, something that is so clear and easy to understand. And that is simply this, that Paul writes to the Thessalonians, longing for them and longing for us as God's people to experience in our lives the complete sanctifying work of God. Here's the passage again from 1 Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Paul wants us to be sanctified by God. To be sanctified means to be made holy, to be made pure, to be made blameless, or to be set apart for some special use, to be set apart to belong to God, to serve God, to carry out the will of God. Is to be sanctified or set apart for his service. And Paul says that we are to be sanctified through and through, that may God himself sanctify us through and through so that we are blameless spirit, soul, and body, that we are completely sanctified and blameless in the sight of God. And that's the point that he's trying to make, and it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's not very technical. Paul here is not trying to get us to explore the depths of how we are composed or the different things that make up a human being in the creative ways of God. That's not his point at all, but his point quite simply is that we be completely sanctified, set apart, made holy through and through in every aspect of our lives until the coming and at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, the work of sanctification began when you and I came to faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, when we found forgiveness through his blood, when we were washed and made whole and made cleansed. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul lists a whole bunch of sins and a whole bunch of things that are from our past. And he said, that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul points back to the time we came to faith, the time we were washed and cleansed and made whole and sanctified and justified, this being done by the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has made us holy and pure and blameless in Christ and by the work of his Holy Spirit. But God longs for us to live out that reality. God has done it. There is a sense in which sanctification is something that has been received by us, accomplished by God, and a gift that we receive. But sanctification is also spoken of as a goal for us to pursue. God has made it so through the blood of Christ, and now we are to live as those holy, blameless children that God longs for us to be. And in fact, in the Thessalonian letter, just in the chapter before where we're going to be today in chapter 5, Paul has talked about the way that our efforts toward the goal of sanctification are a part of what God has done to make us holy. Listen to what he says here in the earlier chapter, chapter 4, verse 3. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. You see, there's something I can do to live a sanctified life. It's something God's done for me in Christ, but now I've got to live it out, the implications of sanctification, to the best of my ability and my commitment. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who don't know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives us the Holy Spirit. You know, when we became Christians, there's some of us that there were just radical changes in our lifestyle. And for all of us, there were changes, but some of us were living lives, maybe some of us who came to Christ as adults after a life maybe of open rebellion against God, or living in ways that we came to understand were against the will of God. When we came to Christ, when we came into the kingdom of God, we underwent some very great changes in our living, and perhaps even immediately as we repented of our sins when we came to know Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of the sanctification process in our lives, at least as far as our efforts go. But it's just the beginning. You know, sometimes it's easy to take care of the big things and miss the little things. Go out and clean up your backyard, assuming it might ever need cleaning up. Ours does on occasion, and sometimes there's some weeds. This is a little embarrassing, but a week ago, Ellen and I went out to work in the yard. And I went around behind the family room there where some of you know how there's a fence right there, just a little narrow. Well, I like this, like pour. Well, I shouldn't say what I pour out there, but nothing usually grows there. Let me just put it that way. That nothing grows out there, and nothing should grow there. I mean, I don't know how it does. And it's like, I went out there, and no kidding, there were some weeds that must have been 4 feet tall. And I'm thinking, does our neighbor come over here secretly and put his hose over the fence? There's no water here. We're in a drought. How in the world do we have this kind of crop coming up? It's a shame you can't, like, you know, eat these things. We'd never run out of food. But, you know, you go through and you pull out all that big stuff. It's like, whoa, look at all that. Doesn't that look good? And that takes about 5 minutes to get those big ones out that come out. And it looks really good right at first. But then you get down on your hands and your knees and you got that. In that spot in our yard, there's this like crazy grass. I don't know what this grass is, but it is almost impossible to get out by the roots. And you start to follow it. You get one of those probes and you're digging down. And those things go for like 3 or 4 feet underground and you're digging and you think, how in the world does stuff do this? And it takes forever and it's painstaking. You know, sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. We kind of get rid of the big stuff, you know, we do kind of the big cleanup. But then there's all those little roots running down under the surface. Sometimes things we don't give a lot of attention to, maybe because they're hidden a bit more, or maybe sometimes because we in our own weakness, we fail to get to the root of things in our lives, and we allow things to continue. And God wants us to do the hard work in our lives of getting to the bottom of things, of getting to the root of those things in our lives that are not right. Are we willing to do the hard work of sanctification? God has done it for us in Christ, but now it's time in our lives to live it out, to get to the bottom of the matter, to get to the root of it, to get rid of everything that keeps us from being holy and set apart from the Word, or from the will of God and from His Word. You know, sometimes we want help, God's help in our lives, in certain things. Maybe we're facing a big problem, or we want peace, we want forgiveness of sins, we look for the big things, but then we're not so sure we want God to get involved in all the details of our lives, because there's some things down there maybe running underneath the surface that we're a little bit more content to leave. I read this story by C.S. Lewis about the time when he was a little boy. And he said, I often had a toothache as a kid. He said, he probably didn't say as a kid. That's me doing my C.S. Lewis. I don't think he used that kind of language. But he said, when I was a child, I often had a toothache. And he said, I knew if I went to my mother that she'd give me something which would deaden the pain and it would help me go to sleep. He said, but I didn't go to my mother. At least, he says, I did not go to my mother until the pain was so bad that I had to go to my mother to get the relief for the pain. And he said, it wasn't because I doubted that she'd give me the aspirin and the pain would go away. He said, but I knew that she would do something else. He said, I knew she would take me to the dentist the next morning. And I could not get what I wanted out of her without getting something more that I didn't want. I wanted immediate relief from my pain, but I couldn't get it without having my teeth set permanently right. And I knew those dentists. I knew they would start fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth which had not yet begun to ache. Well, if you have an aversion to dentists, maybe you can identify a little bit with C.S. Lewis. His point as he writes about that is, yes, there are things we want from God. I want God to give me peace. I've got a big problem in my life right now. I really need God's help. I need God's strength for this. I got to get through this. But then we're not so sure that we want to sit down in the chair and let God fiddle with all those other parts in our life that maybe we would just like to leave alone. Even those areas in our life at times that we've held on to that hold us back from being fully holy before God. And if we do that, if we are reluctant to accept God's probing in our lives, then it keeps us from that goal of becoming truly blameless before Him. And so that's the question. It's really the only question today. Do you and I want to be made blameless by God? Do we want to invite God's probing in all those areas of our lives, even those ones that might be a little bit more painful for us, or ones we haven't even brought up to ourselves because we just as soon not even mention? Maybe those deep roots of the crazy grass that's growing somewhere else. Do I want God to sanctify me through and through, body, soul, and spirit? Will I allow Him to do that? Let's just take a couple of minutes to look into our own hearts and to think about areas where perhaps we might need that probing of God and to be led to greater sanctification. Is there some unholy attitude that you or that I'm holding on to in our life right now? Maybe someone we haven't been willing to forgive. Maybe a grudge that we've been holding for a while. And frankly, we may not want to let go of the grudge. Because as long as we hold on to the grudge, we're in a position of power, a position of control. If we let go of those things, if we allow God to purge us of those ungodly or unholy attitudes, then we may lose a sense of power that we might have. Is there some anger in your heart that you haven't been able to let go of and give into the control of God? Or is there just a willful sin that's continuing in your life, and you know it? No one needs to convince you of it. You know that it's not something you ought to be doing, and yet you find yourself continuing to go back to that same place and maybe make excuses about it, or maybe rationalize it. And God would long to purge you from that, but maybe it's an area where we hold back from allowing God to get His hands on the problem. It may be, for some of us, some desire of the flesh or lust of the flesh that is just continues to be strong in us. And it could be a sexual desire, an immoral one, or it could be around materialism or coveting or not being satisfied and content with where we are or what's going on in our lives or what we have received from God. Or maybe just pride in our lives, and we're not allowing God to truly bring about a change within us, continuing to hold on to ourselves and to those desires that we have. Or maybe there's a secret sin. Have you ever had a secret sin? I confess that I have. It didn't continue to be a secret sin. But you have a secret sin, and you think nobody knows, and nobody could find out, and it's pretty safe. And maybe it doesn't happen very often. I can control this. And we think it has no impact on our spiritual life or our growth or our relationship with God or with others. That's just Satan's deception. But sometimes we think we can leave that because nobody knows, and it's going to stay under the surface. Nobody knows how deep that root goes or where that root actually goes. Maybe you're in a relationship that's leading you into a direction that you ought not to go. Maybe back into something that you did before you were a Christian, but in your friendship or relationship that you have is taking you away from God or taking you to places that you know you wouldn't have gone or you wouldn't even be tempted to go except for that relationship. And God would call you to do something about that relationship, either sever it or to allow Him to transform it so that you are the one who sets the stage for the influence in that. Sometimes we just allow those things to happen. Or we live one way when we're together and we put on a certain face when we come together in the body of Christ. But then during the week, we just live our lives. And maybe nobody even knows that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. We're not set apart in our lives outside of the fellowship. We live like everybody else. And maybe it's a good life and we're nice and we're kind. But in terms of sharing the faith or being the light of Christ in a world, people may know us and not even know that we belong to God. Do we totally submit our life to Christ and passionately long to serve Him and to serve others, to be involved in the kingdom and in the work of the kingdom? I don't know a Joyce McBride. I've never met her. But some of you, like me, perhaps get weekly things from the Christian Chronicle telling stories around the country, and this was one that came to me this week. Joyce McBride is the wife of Bailey McBride. Some of you may know him as a preacher, a college professor. I think either now or in the past, the editor of the Christian Chronicle. Joyce died a few days ago, and her funeral was held this week. And I just read a little story about her written by someone that was taught probably 30 years ago in her Bible school class. And this is just a woman. I could use several people here as an example, but I thought it'd probably be better to share somebody else's story. She's just a servant of God. Everybody remembers her and says the same things about her when you read the comments that are there. The way her home was open in hospitality for everyone in the name of Jesus Christ to invite people in. Her care for those who were downcast. The way she would visit in the hospitals. And when she would come in, she would always bring something. And there was just always a way that when she would come to visit you, you were meant to feel so special and so loved. And it just went on and on about the works that she had done. And at her funeral, some of her students from her Bible class got up and recited Psalm 23. It seems Sister McBride taught preschool in a church for 49 years. And there's a little video there. You can click on it, and it shows these kids from 4 years up, 4 years old up to college age, all up on the stage reciting the 23rd Psalm in her honor as their preschool teacher. This morning, or yesterday morning, I was clicking on Facebook, and there, 12 of my friends in Kenya are commenting on Joyce McBride. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Joyce McBride? Well, and I read, and Joyce and her husband went to Mombasa a few years ago. And while her husband taught in the extension program in Mombasa for leadership training, guess what she was doing? She was meeting with mothers and children and doing a workshop and a teaching event for children. And all these pictures are coming from Kenya showing Joyce McBride sitting there teaching the little children over there. And I thought, this is just amazing. Now, I know there's some people who are given opportunities that you and I may never have. That's not the point. It's not like, well, how many countries has she been? That's not it at all. The point is, at the end of her life, what stands out about Joyce McBride is that she is a servant of God, and that she devoted herself. She was passionate about serving God, given the abilities that she had in the kingdom, and putting them to work. And at the end of her life, the church unanimously praises God for her good works, because they are a reminder and a presence of God Himself working through her life. Question for me and for you: do I have that kind of devotion? Is it my passion to be a servant of Jesus Christ, and a servant of His church, and a servant of His people, and a servant to the world in His name? Is that, am I set apart? Am I set apart to be holy to the work of God and to service in the kingdom? Set apart to serve. Am I holy through and through, belonging to God? It's the Holy Spirit bearing His fruit in your life and in mine. Is His holiness being seen in me? Think about your life. Every year, is your life characterized more by that fruit that the Spirit brings? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God is making us holy if we're giving ourselves over to His molding and care and the work of the Spirit in our life. We're becoming more and more like God. That's what the Scriptures teach us. And do we give our life? Do you give your life, every part of it, every single part of it, to God to fiddle about in, to get His hands in the middle of, to shape us, to change us, to rebuke us, to encourage us, to make us more holy, to set us apart for His service? Or do we withhold some part of our life from His care? As I've reflected upon this teaching of Paul this week, I've done something. I just want to ask you to do the same thing. I'd like for you to look at your life right now and find just one thing. Find one thing in your life right now that you need to give over for God to fiddle around in. An attitude, an action, a sin that needs to be stopped, an attitude that needs to be promoted, a service or ministry, something you need to do, something you're holding back that needs to be given over to His control. I'd like to encourage you right now to think of just one thing in your life that God can do something about in your life, and determine right now that you're going to give it to Him, that you're going to turn it over to Him, that you're going to keep focused on that, that you're going to pray about that, that you're going to ask God for the power to bring about those changes in your life, because we need His help. We need His power. We can't do this on our own. And then when we think about becoming fully sanctified, you know, we're never going to be fully sanctified in this life, not in the sense of perfection. And yet we never relax the goal of holiness, of the holiness that one day will be ours by God's hand. We don't relax the standard. We want God to make us holy through and through, to sanctify us body, soul, and spirit, knowing that ultimately this will be accomplished by God Himself. I love verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. This isn't just some wishful thing on Paul's part. Well, I just hope one of these days you just get fully sanctified. Wouldn't that be great? Paul says, no. This is going to happen, and I know it's going to happen, because the God who's calling you to sanctification, He is going to make sure that it happens. We make this our life's work. This is our goal, to become holy like God is holy. But in the end, it's only God who will one day complete that process and actually achieve that perfection at the return of Jesus Christ. This is the goal toward which everything is moving in this world, that Jesus is coming back, and God longs to present the church to be presented to Jesus in its purity, blameless, holy, completely sanctified, completely belonging to Him, through and through, body, soul, and spirit. God will eliminate every sin, every taint, every impurity and its effect on His people. And in our entirety, body, soul, and spirit, we will be presented blameless, holy, pure, sanctified, through and through. And how will that happen? Well, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. He will do it. What God has begun to do already in sending Christ and the Holy Spirit, what God has done is we've come to Him in our faith and in our washing and sanctification, redeeming us and giving us His Spirit in us to help us be holy. He will bring to completion. He will do it. That's where He's taking creation. He's taking that as His goal for you and I in the body of Christ, so that our goal, our hope is not in our feeble efforts that always fall short. Our hope is in the divine power of a holy, loving God who's promised to make this happen, not only for time, but for eternity. And we know what's going to happen at the return of Jesus. If we're dead, our bodies will be raised up out of the grave, and guess what? They're going to be glorified, and they're going to be pure, and they're going to be perfect. And if we're alive when the Lord returns, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, our bodies will immediately be changed and transformed into bodies that are perfect and eternal. And in that resurrection, as spirit and soul and body, as everything comes together, we will be pure, holy, without sin, without the taint of sin. Satan will be destroyed. We will be everything God has called us to be. That's our destiny. The destiny that you and I have in Christ is one day to stand before the throne of God, faultless, blameless, pure, without sin, sanctified through and through, body, soul, and spirit, even glorified in the presence of God. Every taint of sin will be gone, and every temptation will be wiped away. And this is what God will do for us. The question today is, will I allow God to do that work now, here in me, in those areas of my life that still need to become pure and holy and set apart? Will I resist that work? Or will I allow God to continue that process now, a process that He will complete at the return of Jesus Christ by His power, by His decree? You know, it's just amazing what God's calling us to. I long for the day where sin and temptation and impurity and failure, spiritual failure, is history. I wish it could happen completely in this world, but it doesn't, does it? But we strive for it even now. But one day it will, by the power of God. He will do it. The one who's called us, the one who has called us to holiness and sanctification, He's faithful. This is a done deal. It's going to happen. This is where we're headed. And now let's live like that today. Let's live like that this week, giving God every aspect of our life and say, God, I don't want to wait till the end. I want You to do it now. Here it is. You fiddle about as much as You need to in my life, and help me to humble myself before You and allow You to point these things out in my life and to change me day by day. And if you're struggling in your commitment to God, if there's a struggle you're facing to be holy, blameless, pure, or set apart in the sense of being set apart to serve and to give your life in service and holy service to the kingdom, if you're struggling with something like that today, do what you need to do. If you need to talk to a brother or sister in Christ that you know and love and trust, talk to them. Talk to them about it. Ask them to pray for you. Find someone that can maybe hold you accountable to any change you want to make in your life. Or if you want to speak to the elders of the body here, they're available. If you need the help of the church, if you want the whole church to stand by your side and to pray for you, let us know. We want to do that. We're all wanting to help each other in this whole process of becoming holy like our God is holy. And if you haven't started that journey, if you're looking right now to get rid of your sin, to have your sins washed away through Jesus Christ Himself, then you have the opportunity to do that as well, to believe, to to believe in Jesus Christ, to put your trust in His blood on the cross. As Paul said, to be washed, to be sanctified, to be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And know the purity. Begin that walk of holiness that one day will end at the very throne of our most holy God, who will make us, by the exertion of His divine power, just as He is, holy and without spot. If there's any who need to come to our God today for that kind of strength or help, we invite you. Let's stand together as we sing.